You're listening to WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro, and Sacred Earth Drums, Prayer for the Four Directions, welcoming us to... What do we have here today? That Claudio, actually, speakeasy.
That was actually the sound of us losing our bird here at WCOM.
Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy on this bright new start of a new year, 2011.
It's Happy New Year Day, yes.
To invite you all in to find a seat and get comfortable in the place where you are always welcome and can always expect the absolute ultimum best.
So, I'll accept that. What she said.
Good morning, Claudio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm glad to hear your home building project is still well underfoot.
It's underfoot, really. I get this other picture up on my website that shows a picture of my boots covered with Carolina clay.
Yes, the economic way of building your own hovel.
Yes.
So keep everybody's mind on that blog. I have absolutely no idea what today's show is going to be about, but I do have Ernie Hood here in the studio. He's with his show is Radio In Vivo, your link to the science community. And, of course, also have Audrey Layden, who has her own Carrboro BookBeat. Mm-hmm. And this is yours truly, who has Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater coming at you live from WCOM 103.5 FM. And we're going to get into all sorts of little topics today, talk about... upcoming shows and endeavor with WCOM itself, as well as our personal lives a little bit, I suppose. But since the old year has passed away, I thought I'd begin with some cemetery humor for this new year.
A good way to start the year.
Yes, I thought we'd just go ahead and really bury it.
Take us right to the graveyard.
That's yes. Right, burying yesterday. This is under the heading...
I saw something the other day. I just want to throw this in the beginning.
Please.
Is that... something on Facebook, actually, and it was the optimist stays up to welcome in the new year, and the pessimist stays up to make sure the old one leaves.
There we go.
So that's good for this.
I think we need
cemetery
them both.
Humor.
Yes. This comes under the heading of jokes. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. Anyway, here we have a little cemetery humor, and these are actual statements on actual tombstones, I think from here to England. On the tombstone of Harry E. Smith of Albany, New York, born 1903, died 1942, looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was. Interesting to imagine that on a tombstone. And then in Thurmont, Maryland, the grave, here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. That's one of my favorites in this collection.
Yeah.
A grave of Ezekiel Akel, of East Dackhousie, Nova Scotia. I hope I pronounced all that well. Here lies Ezekiel Akel, age 102. Only the good die young.
If I was going to have a gravestone, which I'm not, because I would like to be cremated and scattered to sea, that's what I would like
that's
to have
I
on it, because I intend to live, you know, a good long, healthy life.
You hope.
Maybe not the best.
I have no desire to be cremated, unless, of course, there's no way to get me into the ocean, but I figured let friends party around my corpse and then toss me overboard at the end of it.
Well, you know, the Viking funeral, where you put the dead body on a ship and you push it out to sea and you shoot and then, flaming arrows at the masts
Set
the whole thing
on fire.
I like
that idea.
I figured I would like to have an Irish wake and a Viking funeral.
Not bad.
The Irish wake, they use the ice around the body that's trying to keep it from decaying too fast to keep the beer cold.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Oh, they had all sorts of mixed reasons for things back in them days.
Yes.
Here we go. Ribbesford, England, on the cemetery, on the tombstone. Anna Wallace, the children of Israel want bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Clark Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. Now, I have no idea why that embitterment was put to stone.
Yeah, I swear.
And then, finally got even with her, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to leave a mark. Ruidoso, New Mexico Cemetery. Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon him for not rising.
Oh, dear. Ta-dum.
Uniontown, Pennsylvania Cemetery. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. stepped on the gas instead of the brake.
Ouch.
Yeah. Might have been a cold road, too. Mm-hmm. Silver City, Nevada Cemetery. Here lays the kid. We planted him raw. He was quick on the trigger, but slow on the draw. That sounds like something out of the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I just treated Ernie and Breezy to, True Grits or True Grit?
True Grit.
True Grit.
The Southern Western
y'all
True Grit.
Southern.
And I have to say, Jeff Bridges really pulled that one off.
I like that. I like that little slip there. That's hysterical.
Yes.
The next movie.
Makes me hungry.
And here's another one from England. Sir John Strange. A lawyer's epitaph. Sir John Strange. Here lies an honest lawyer, and that is Strange. John Penny's epitaph in the Wimborne, England cemetery. Reader, if cash thou art in want of, dig 6 feet deep and thou wilt find a penny.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't more serious.
That's strange.
A lot of work for a penny.
I think the penny is the idea. On the pennies on the eyes, isn't pennies? That what they did in the olden days? They put pennies and pennies over the eyes.
Well, that was his name, right?
Yes. Oh, be quiet.
It's just reading it. It's not going through this.
Yes, right. I'm not taking this to heart. In Hartscombe, England, a grave reads, on the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune. Interesting, okay. Anna Hopewell's grave in Enosburg Falls, Vermont. Here lies the body of our Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but the skin of the thing that made her go.
Hmm.
Right. Wow.
And let's see. In Nantucket in 1880.
Careful.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it sounds like a limerick.
I won't slip into rhyme.
Yeah.
Under the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Please, spelled just like that. I guess we are going into rhyme. He's not here. There's only the pod. Please shelled out and went to God. So it's almost a limerick.
Yeah. I thought you were going into the There Once Was a Girl from Nantucket.
No. You can keep that bucket to yourself. somewhere in England, in the cemetery, remember, man, as you walk by, for as you are now, so once was I, and as I am now, you soon shall be, so prepare to die and follow me. To which someone replied, to follow you, I will not be content until I know which way you went. And then very quickly, so I can stop this nonsense, words to the wise. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a flat tire and a broken fan belt. I'm sure we can all relate to that at some point in our lives.
I don't want to relate to that.
No, me neither. It's always darkest before dawn, so if you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, that's the time to do it.
These are not on the graveyards.
No. This is words to the wise. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we just switched.
It's got interesting people in the graveyard.
Big gravestone, too.
Yes.
And a very important thing here, never test the depth of the water with both feet. You might find yourself surprised. It may be your sole purpose in life. It may be that your sole purpose in life is simply to serve as a warning to others. There we go. That goes for couch potatoes, I think. If you think nobody cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of car payments. Before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. I think this works for me.
Not bad.
Always remember you are unique, just like everyone else. And good judgment comes from bad experiences, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. And there we go. Let's hope we'll have some good judgment to bring in the new year with.
Yeah, how did everybody spend the first day of this year? What did you do, Ernie?
I spent it avoiding tradition, but I can't really remember what I did, except I pretty much had a relaxed day at home.
Well, is that avoiding tradition?
Avoiding the Christmas tradition. I stayed out of the commercialism this year completely.
Yeah.
I called up friends and family.
Why I didn't get a present.
That's it.
Me?
Exactly.
Maybe we did get a little good.
You got your groceries today.
That's true.
That's it.
That's true. We got veggies.
Yes, we did. So, Ernie, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks, Claudio. It's good to be here.
It's been a while since I've had you on. You're actually the one that got me into this trouble years ago.
That's true, and it is stretching into time, isn't it?
I'm not sure that's in my favor or not.
This month is 5 years for my show, and I know, Audrey, you're close to that, too.
Yeah, it'll be 5 years, I think, in February or March.
I think it's going on to three for me, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think
at least.
Probably.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
You're getting to be one of the old grizzled veterans.
And you know what fascinates me? Originally, before I even took the radio show gig, you wanted me to get on Audrey's show and somehow connect the two of us, and here it's sort of fallen into place.
Uh-huh. That's right.
We're hosting, that's co-hosting. Right. So
makes a good, we're a good team.
Good judgment. I think we are.
Absolutely. I think the three of us make a good team, actually.
I totally agree. So what is going on, if you don't mind me jumping onto Radio In Vivo? What we got coming up? What are some of your great moments of the past? And who's your favorite child?
Yandine. Oh, let's see. Recently, did a show about science and music.
Ah, all right. You've combined those two before.
Have done that before, and those have proven to be some of the more popular shows I've ever done.
Gould was one of them.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. And so last week, had a couple of physics professors from NC State, who one is an astrophysicist who is known for having recently discovered the youngest supernova in our galaxy.
My goodness.
Which lent all kinds of interesting stuff.
I can imagine.
The other is a materials scientist, particularly nanomaterials, so working at the extremely tiny scale. So these guys are into this, you know, really, really esoteric science. And being someone who is a little more comfortable with the life sciences, it's a stretch for me to even understand sometimes exactly what they were talking about. We tried to keep them kind of into earth, but they're both professional musicians.
I was just going to ask how the musical element tied in.
Yeah, the astrophysicist is a professional level violinist, string player. Okay. Many years ago, the thing that kind of caught my attention, he turned down an opportunity to join the Kronos Quartet.
My goodness.
Which I told him, that's like, you know, in classical music, that's like saying, you know, you could have been a Beatle.
Yeah, wow. I know. It's a big deal.
And he's played, you know, in symphony orchestras and things like that, and doesn't play as much as he used to. The other gentleman, a fellow named Marco Buongiorno Nardelli.
Mm-hmm. Definitely of Italian descent.
Indeed, of Italian heritage.
Yes.
He is a flutist and plays and composes quite actively. He has a band called the Elm Collective.
Interesting.
Which is kind of world music, avant-garde jazz, really good stuff. So,
what about the violinist? What direction does he go in musically?
He said he does not actually play as much as he used to. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to be very active at early in his career, kind of faced a crossroads as to whether to pursue, you know, music or physics professionally. And, you know,
it kind of makes you wonder, because of the field they're in, if their music might have a bit of an ethereal influence somehow.
Oh, I think so, without a doubt. And they, you know, we spent about half of the show last week talking about that and what is this mysterious interface between science and music, because it's you know, obviously not just limited to them. There's many, many examples out there of you know, very accomplished scientists who are also extremely good musicians. Mm-hmm. And I've had several others.
I actually had a chance to be somewhere where I could hear the show and pay attention to it, and really did enjoy it.
I like his show so much. I've asked him to make me CD copies of them, because I'm still on the phone line on computer, so I can't really download very well.
Well, we should remind people how they can access the shows.
Sure. It's you know, the show has a website of its own called radioinvivo.net. That's all one word to get to the .net. And there's an archive of all of my past shows on there, more than 150.
And podcast now as well.
Yep.
And, exactly. You know, as long as we're talking about that, if you want to hear any of Claudio Speakeasies from the last 3 years.
I don't know if they want that kind of trouble.
Oh, yes, they do. You can go to claudioarts.com, and you'll find a link there that'll take you to all of the Speakeasies past shows.
It'll even instruct you as to how to get there.
Right.
A radio link on my website.
And your show has as well.
Anything from from Carborough Book Beat, you go to thebookbeat.wordpress.com and you can find a whole, all our shows.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody out there tuning us in right now, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, WCOM 103.5 FM. But we definitely always solicit whatever support we can get for the station. If anyone wants to make contributions directly to the particular host they favor or want to be supportive of, then just go directly to the links that have just been expressed, mm-hmm. and we will deal with you personally and get the funding to WCOM. Mm-hmm. We're always
but if you want to just do it online, you can just go to WCOMFM.org and mm-hmm. click on the Donate Now link and make it tax deductible, totally secure donation.
You can always say whose show you like and who you'd like to see off the air.
Yes, fair. We do ask for opinions. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear.
Absolutely.
On community radio. What do you think community radio should be doing? And we'll try to do it. We're all volunteers here, so...
No paycheck biases.
No.
Every cent that comes to the station goes to keeping the mics working and our licensing up to date. Mm-hmm. The equipment in order.
And this is essentially our contributions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And it's
there are expenses. They're relatively minimal,
right,
compared to what comes out the other end. But there are expenses, and we appreciate any support that comes in.
You know, if we had just like 125 people out of our Chapel Hill, Carborough population of over 70,000 people, mm-hmm. if 125 people could make a $10 a month donation, which is pocket change, is 33 cents a day.
Boy, you've broken that down. Just stay up all night.
I have.
She's done the math.
Yes. I've done the math. It would keep this station on the air.
Absolutely.
And this is in comparison with other stations that will do these $1 million or $100,000 fundraisers, and for the change you have in your pocket on a daily basis, you can support local voices having access to the airwaves.
Absolutely.
And to the internet, because, you know, we do go around the globe.
Absolutely. And this is one of the few places where you'll find absolute freedom of speech. There is absolutely no corporate speak coming through these pipes here.
No, what's coming through is true. Anything that is acceptable by the FCC.
We take it as close. We teeter on the edge of that. Yes. Let's put it that way. And on the note of contributions, I must acknowledge my sponsor, underwriter, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. Keep up with what's going on there by going to carolinatheatre.org. And you can find out the season is about to get in full swing again, so do keep that in mind.
The Carolina Theater is an historic nonprofit performing arts complex located at 300 West Morgan Street in Durham.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
So anybody listening from the Carolina Theater, we have plugged you appropriately.
We have made your announcement.
Yes, That's right.
That's right.
So it's back to Ernie.
Back to me.
What's cooking? What's coming up? Any direction you want to fly with telling us about Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community?
That is exactly correct. Right. Okay. I appreciate that. You know, I haven't been able to devote as much time as I would like to the show in recent
weeks.
Well,
there is that thing called making a living.
Yeah, well, they're exactly right.
You're a freelance science writer.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
very good one.
Work goes up and down, and right. Recently it's been up. Thank God. Good mm-hmm. for goodness for that.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes the amount of time I'm able to devote to the show, which requires a great deal of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
To be adequately prepared and find new guests and get them booked and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So right now I'm still looking for some guests for this month, but the next one I've got is a woman from UNC who specializes in treating patients with a rare disorder called Turner syndrome.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It strikes adolescent girls, and it stunts their growth causes all kinds of health problems and things like that. So she has a clinic for these people, and apparently they come from all over the country because it's a very rare genetic disorder. So it's a chance to work on what they call an orphan disease.
Yeah. How did you find her, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I am a member of the UNC, one of the institutional review board meetings. And so I go to this meeting every month. And what we do is judge and put our approval to all of the research studies that are going on at UNC, mm-hmm. which number in the hundreds,
I can imagine,
if not thousands. So at any given time, like I say, we meet once a month and probably sit and discuss and vote to approve most of the time, you know, 30 or 40 research studies.
Right. Yeah.
And it's all the idea is for this this board is to protect human subjects. Mm-hmm. I had the gentleman who runs that department, Dan Nelson, on my show.
All right.
A couple of years ago. And because this is a burgeoning area, it's all ethical research and things like that, mm-hmm. and protecting people because there have been many, many abuses of that in the past.
I could imagine.
So it's very systematized at this point. So he runs that, and next thing I knew, I was sitting on one of these boards and having to go to a meeting once a month. But so it's interesting to me though because I'm privy to all the research that's going on.
Right.
And should give you a good source for people to come on the show as well.
It does. Yeah, you know, I try not to do that
too much
because, yeah, because I, you know.
Conflict of interest or something.
Well, it's not so much a conflict of interest, although I've been tried to be careful about that and never invite anybody onto the show that we haven't already voted on their study.
Right.
So no influence at that level. But, you know, once in a while I'll pull one out and, you know, at the end of the meeting instead of putting it in the recycle, I'll put it in my back pocket and I say, yeah, I want to talk to that person.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they got some really interesting stuff going on. And so it's a good way to hear about things that maybe aren't, you know, from the press releases or, you know, in the newspaper. So this is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that one. I think that one is February 9th, and I'm working on some other things for this month.
Good.
I'm just sitting here listening to you and, you know, talking about... Yes, I am. I'm thinking, as long as I've known you, which is practically the 5 years since I've been involved here, that I have not asked or heard you interviewed with the question of what ever got you interested in science?
In science?
In science and writing. And we want to see... You go ahead and talk a minute, and I'll see if we've got a phone call coming in here.
Okay, sure. I'll try to answer that briefly. Well, as Claudio well knows, you know, I used to be in the video production business for many years, and that's how Claudio and I got to know each other.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the major portion of that work over a couple of decades was pharmaceutical industry work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and I was the main scriptwriter for many, 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 many videos.
Right.
A lot of sales training type things.
Yeah, I remember.
So I had to learn everything there was to know about a particular drug to be able to pass it along effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And found that I had an affinity for that and found it really, really interesting. And then decided many years ago now to transition away from the video business and concentrate on the writing itself.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what brings us here.
All right.
Yeah.
And your interest goes beyond actual science and into science fiction as well.
Well, yeah, I've always
been a reader. I know you've recommended a few.
I quickly want to interject the place, the former place that Ernie is speaking of, in which he was part owner, was Inside Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually noticed that there's a complete facelift. I did drive by going home that... after the movie,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they're putting another level on the place.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, there was a construction thing going on.
How about that?
Have you ever considered writing science fiction?
You know, it's interesting. I've thought about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, but writing to me is although I enjoy it at a certain level, and I guess I'm good enough to at least make a living at it.
Uh-huh.
It's to me, it's work.
Right.
You know, so
it's you know, ideas work.
I don't want to, I don't have too much interest in writing for fun.
Right.
You know, and it's just never felt like something I wanted to pursue. It's like, okay, when I'm done with my work, I want to get away from it and do something else.
Yes.
Read what somebody else has written. Yeah. That will take you out, escape fiction, out into the planet somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a quick note to our listening public. I noticed that the phone lines are ringing just by the flashing light we have. We are not actually accepting any phone calls on the conversation today. So please forgive us. But at some point, I am going to open up Claudia Speakeasy in Radio Theater for that kind of interaction, but today is not that day.
We also do invite people. Do leave us messages.
Absolutely.
It's difficult to interrupt a talk show to respond to
callers. It's particularly difficult on the person trying to respond to you, you know, watching you on a telephone. So.
Well, and people should know that, you know, although some of the shows here do take
absolutely.
Calls.
Oh, absolutely. Very much absolutely. So. And at some point,
we don't have a screener. You know, there's nobody sitting out in the other room, you know, screening the calls or doing anything like you would on a normal talk radio situation.
Correct.
And I've done that, and it's great fun. But
very frequently picked up the phone in the middle of a show and have it be a telemarketer or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
can I talk to Joe Blow? And I'm sorry, there's nobody here.
It's not easy for us on WCOM to accommodate calls, because the only way to answer them is to put them on the air and hope for the best.
Yes, and exactly.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
And that was our extended apology for not picking up the phone.
Yes, but do leave us messages. Because
absolutely. And I don't take calls on my show for that very reason.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
the first few shows I did. And I thought it was, we're going
to
have a talk show. It's going to be great fun. But then, you know, like you say, you get telemarketers or somebody looking for Joe, you know, and it just interrupts.
And
the
it really bites
the
into the atmosphere you're trying to create with what
it
you're
does.
Doing.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with Carborough Bookbeat, because we get involved with a guest.
Authors,
who are, I mean, they're there because we want to showcase them and their work and don't really want to interrupt what we're doing with them. It's different with the music shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the music is playing, you call in, you can talk to the DJ, and they really like to get calls.
Sure.
I know I have made calls from time to time to, you know, not just to this station, but to others to find out, what was that you were just playing? It was great.
That's true.
And it's been very welcomed. I remember calling someone at some late night show. And they were like, I'm so glad to hear somebody listening.
Yes, I've been lonely. So, well, let's segue from that into Carborough Bookbeat. Tell us what's happening there. Update us.
Okay, let's see what's happening at Carborough
Bookbeat.
This is
Audrey's show, which is not playing my co-host.
With Paul Nage, because I'm
again
co-hosting with Paul on Carborough Bookbeat. And coming up, we have a show that is about an author who is a retired from the military, and the title of it is Valleys of Death, and it is an excellently written autobiographical. I mean, it's written in conjunction with a professional writer of his experiences during the Korean War, and it's very down to earth. I'm not one who really likes military books per se.
Me neither.
But it is so real in his personal description of his involvement. He was a prisoner of war for, I forget how many months. I mean, I think it was close to 3 years.
Wow. My goodness.
And his experiences in that and the conditions that they dealt with, not just as a prisoner of war, but being in the military, I mean, and
no doubt.
Conditions
the whole
you had to deal with there, with their in the conduct of a war and what it feels like to see, you know,
and
a 19-year-old dying of something or other right next to you. I mean, it's very effective book, and he's coming on. We will have some lighter things as well.
you gotta take both. The bitter with the sweet.
One of the things we want to do is there was an article in The Independent recently about the confabulation of the English language. That's not exactly the title of it. But we want to take that interview. One of the people interviewed the author of a book. But we're going to take the interview and just take off on that and what is happening to the English language.
Oh, no doubt. I would love to get a hold of Richard Lederer, the author of stuff like basically Twisted English and just any language abuse that happens in the English language.
Uh-huh.
He's written these books that literally poke fun at it. And they show you the double entendres, the meanings, and just some of the absolute absurdities that exist with our language or what our language gets mistaken for. word wise and things, descriptions.
That's been around just at the turn of the year as the some of the words they're banning, the new words that came up. And I don't remember, the only one I remember is refutiate, which is putting together refute and repudiate.
Oh, Lord.
Well, that was Sarah Palin coined that.
Exactly.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Right,
I think
exactly.
With this new technology, we're going to have all kinds of new language.
Well, language is a living
thing. Well, be careful. I might unfriend you.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
There's a new word.
That's
unfriend.
Right.
You don't defriend, you unfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
From Facebook to in person.
That's it.
He's unfriended me, and I've defriended him. There we go.
Not defend, but defriend.
Okay. If you're nice, I might refriend you.
Okay, we can shoot for that.
I don't know. It jumps from refriend to refried. That's getting close.
I think
to
I'm switching over to Dutch. Thank you.
But and language is a living.
Absolutely, and I want to mention things coming up on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater in the future. I think on the 11th we've got Peggy Taphorn with Temple Theater coming on.
Great,
she's always great
she's
fun.
Going
to catch us up with everything and join us in our Radio Theater as well. And then after that, I think on the 18th, we're going to have Bob Crowley on with his new book, to which I wrote the preface and theme poem called The Wanderer of New Hope.
We had him on Carbureau Book Beat.
Yes, I know you
Halloween,
did.
Yeah.
A true North Carolina legend about a specter that's existed since the late 1800s. So well worth tuning in for that one. And then at the end of the month, if I can help it, I'm going to contact a very dear friend of mine, Captain Don Punker, whom I served under when much of my time at sea. He was the captain, and he's in his 70s now, and he is listening to him is like imagining somebody stepping out of a great novel and telling you sea stories, because he's lived them, and I've lived a few experiences with him, and he has offered to do a call-in, so we may get him to do that from Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm putting that together now.
And again, you know, anybody wants to hear any of the past treasures that we have recorded in podcast, you can go for Claudio Speakeasy to claudioarts.com. For Radio In Vivo, you can go to, give us that, Ernie.
Radioinvivo.net.
All right.
And for you?
For Carbureau BookBeat, you go to thebookbeat.wordpress.com.
All right, so then we're done.
The BookBeat.
The BookBeat.
Okay.
At WordPress.com.
And that's a blog, too, right?
That is a blog.
So have you been blogging regularly?
Well, I put the every show up every week. I haven't gotten yesterday's show up yet, but it will be. Yesterday we discussed a book called Rogers Road. And unfortunately, our guest wasn't able to make it, David Caldwell, who is the project director for the Rogers Eubank Neighborhood Association, in their efforts that they have been struggling with for a long time to get rid of the landfill and let the landfill close and not have the transfer station put there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredibly interesting book because it starts out with the beginning of Rogers Road before there was a Rogers Road, like in the mid-1700s, and the families that have been living there forever, and where they came from. It's full of photographs.
And explain exactly again what Rogers Road is.
Rogers Road is in just north of, well, it's in Chapel Hill.
Okay.
And if you go up Martin Luther King Boulevard and you turn on Eubanks, I believe, you hit Rogers Road.
All right. And what is it about Rogers Road?
It's a neighborhood that has been the... let's say the recipient of our landfill.
Oh, Lord.
The last,
okay, now I'm getting the picture.
Yeah, it's been there. The landfill went in there maybe 30 years ago or more. I forget exactly.
It's been quite a while.
It's been a while. And it was with the statement that they would have the landfill, and because of that, they would be getting all sorts of benefits for development of the area, which, of course, never happened. Then the landfill is in the process, I believe, of closing at some date when it will be filled. Mm-hmm. And then there was not supposed to be anything else. And the case came up about they were going to put a transfer station there, which means that all the trash would be loaded there and then reloaded and bussed off.
Oh, Lord.
Well, they've had all sorts of problems with leakage and contamination of their water supplies because they don't have anything out there but wells. They never got the water system out there. They never got the bus the bus transportation out to there.
And, of course, it used to be very much a rural area, but with the growth here, the towns have grown out to this area. It's primarily African-American.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a real symbolic case of environmental justice.
It certainly sounds
at work.
So, and it's been a long struggle.
And so you did the show despite the fact that the author couldn't make it?
Yes, we went on and we just talked about it, pretty much for most of the show. And then we went off on something else, like at the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping there was a mistake in the time, understanding of what time the show was on. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to have him back in because we really did miss having him there. But it's... anybody that's interested in that can go to, it's a self-published book by this neighborhood association.
Wonderful. Okay.
You can go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and just type in the search Rogers Road, and you should be able to get that book up, and you can either purchase it through there or you can actually download a free copy.
Perfect.
So it's,
I also want to mention to anyone listening, if there is, and I imagine that I may speak for all three of us in this regard, but if there's anyone interested in coming on any of the shows that they're listening to, then just contact us via those email addresses or websites that we've left with you, and we'll certainly consider having you on.
Mm-hmm.
So do keep that in mind as well.
Sure.
So, okay, I'm going to tell
you a needle-pulling thread.
Yes. Actually, I watched that Sound of Music recently.
It's always a good show.
Yeah. I spent my New Year's Day tramping around my property.
Yes, she was imagining where the eventual domicile will be.
Yes, getting red clay all over a pair of boots that I specifically bought because they were on sale and I will only wear them there. They are, I have to take them off before I get in the car because that red clay sticks to everything. I mean,
Now, this is your property in Moncure, right?
In Moncure,
which
right.
is very likely the reason you had to go so deep to find your water as well because that red clay tends to...
Well, actually, the 320 feet is not bad depth.
It really isn't. Okay.
It isn't.
I guess I'm not experienced in that department.
Mm-hmm. And we were very fortunate in going 320 feet and getting 20 gallons a minute, which I've been informed is incredible.
Struck a good vein.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, Manus well drilling, and he told me that I could, supply the whole area there with water.
My goodness.
Not bad. It's interesting because many years ago, shortly after I had bought the property, I had amateur dowsers come. And after he said that, they did mark places where they thought there would be water.
Mm-hmm.
And one person who was just experimenting with dowsing, he was someone that had actually been used by local police for doing, I think they call it psychometry. They put a photo upside down, you put your hand on it, and you give a psychic response to it. Anyway, it was something like that he had done. He had never done dowsing. But he marked a place where he said he thought that if I went down like 600 feet there, I would hit an aquifer. And I thought, well, that's great. I don't have the money to go down.
Then you can always
feet.
Dig down next to it because there might be a pre-existing cave you can move right into.
Yeah, right. Thanks, except it would flood.
Right. Well, details.
Anyway, so I went and took out the map because I still have the map that they marked all their places on. And it's not too far from where I hit 20 gallons a minute at 320 feet. So. Who knows? I might go into the water selling business.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. Well, now we're going to switch from that to the blackbirds. Have you heard about these blackbirds falling out of the sky in Arkansas and in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Science here, would any notion as to what bizarre experimentations man could be up and about causing birds to literally fall out of the sky dead? Not dead when they hit the ground, but dead before they hit the ground. And I think 5,000 in Arkansas and somewhere in that proximity in some place in New Orleans. I mean, that's a little macabre.
Best
I'm just kind of curious as to what we
seemed
make
to be
of
that it was trauma of some sort.
Yeah, which obviously man-induced somehow, because that's a large number.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be man-induced. It could
very possibly. The aliens are here then, are they?
It could have been lightning.
It could have been lightning.
No, they said there was no lightning. They actually brought that up. They said there was no lightning in the sky.
Because when I saw something on there, they said they had thought it might have something to do with lightning.
I may have watched the later version then.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of who knows how the winds, what kind of toxic. I mean, it could be remotely connected with toxic environments getting into the wind patterns.
Well, let's just hope this doesn't have man's fingerprint on it. It's just macabre to even consider. Mm-hmm. And of course, the other macabre thing is that the Republicans taking the House. I know you guys don't want to talk politics, and neither do I. I just want people to be aware of the fact that, you know, if they don't do their job right, kick their butts out. That's the main thing. I'm not more impressed with the Democrats. Maybe this will put some fire under the Democrats, even though they're in the minority. But sometimes a good fire can even get the minority working.
Well, you know what we could do is we just put there was our famous senator who said put a fence around Chapel Hill and you wouldn't have to put up a zoo. Well, I want to go and expand that. Let's just put a fence around North Carolina. You know, let's secede.
And how about just a security fence around D.C. in general and lock them off?
No. Instead of fighting the what you don't like, let's just go create what we do like.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and take
I like
over
that idea.
The state and make it our own version of
we shall secede.
Society.
Chapel Hill secedes from the Union.
It's the state. I had a friend that I lived next door to when I lived in Florida, and he had a planet of his own, and it was Harold's planet.
I've met a few people that way.
Yes. Well, it was when things got, you know, too bad, he was going, like, we will all go to Harold's planet. And my whole family has adopted this as the only people that would be allowed on Harold's planet.
Le petit prince.
Of like sentiment and that would fit in with grace and compassion and comfort and love and all that good stuff.
How do we get there?
It's a mental thing.
Oh, dear.
It's a mental thing. You go to Harold's planet, just go. Then you've decided,
just go.
All right, I'm someplace.
Go with God, but go.
Yes. Anyway, blessings to all and wishings and greetings from Harold's planet.
And a happy new year in the greatest spirit.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work, we all move to Canada. How's that sound?
That'll work.
Well, you know, I've got a son that just moved to Montana. Right.
Ooh, Billings, that's Montana. Way too cold.
I'm beginning to want to find out where all the people that are coming here are leaving so I can go there. No, they're taking over.
I had someone else I knew who said all the people that made this area, you know, meaning Chapel Hill, Carborough area, as interesting and as good as it is, are going to ground in Chatham. So, go to Chatham.
Yeah, right.
But not too close.
Just hope you don't get followed.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you were saying you had a nice, comfortable, easy New Year's Day.
I avoided Christmas altogether, just decided to stay home and communicate with friends by computer and be around my dogs and other animals on the property. But I got so turned off to the commercialism that Christmas has become that I just refused to be a part of it. Just something inside me said no.
But New Year's Day is different.
So I was Scrooge.
But New Year's Day is different.
David would be proud of me.
I'm going to hit you. New Year's Day is different.
Absolutely. No, New Year's Day I still take to heart. And,
right.
And I do Christmas as well in the true and intended spirit,
yes.
Which is not materialistic.
Well, one of the things that one of my kids came up with is, not making resolutions. Who wants to make resolutions?
Yeah.
But what are your intentions? What are your intentions for this year? Not I resolve that I'm going to lose 20 pounds or I'm going to make $1 million or something like that, but to stop and think about what do I intend for my life in this new era that we're
in. And what did you decide?
Well, mine is pretty obvious.
You're going balloon racing?
No, I'm going to build my house. I'm going to move into the woods.
What about you, Ernie?
And spend more time writing.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Absolutely. That's what you're here for.
I hadn't really thought about
Speak
it.
Speak easy, brother.
This has been one of those years where I've just taken a break over the holiday and well-earned, if I do say so. And
good.
Just tried to relax and recharge batteries and didn't,
didn't
do a lot of deep thoughts.
I really think that's a key factor. More of us should learn to relax. More of us should learn to take it easy and not let life just go by until we meet the grave, but actually stay here and enjoy it for a while. Smell it. And don't live for the economy. Live live some semblance of a life you can be proud of, mm-hmm. instead of being absolutely financially driven to the grave, quite literally.
Went bowling.
Good for you. There we go.
How'd you do?
Oh, it was pitiful. It was
that doesn't matter.
It was. I hesitate to. I shouldn't even have brought it up. In fact, it was really depressing. I hadn't gone in.
Relax. Probably, it's okay.
Probably 20 years, you know. And I used to be, you know, I was never really good at it, but passable. Mm-hmm. But it was pathetic. It was like a 4-year-old.
Ernie confesses.
Oh, yeah, and my older daughter went, and my girlfriend's son, and he of course rolled 150 and was.
He was probably at it every
making
other day,
strikes.
Though.
No, he hadn't been for quite a while either. But my daughter and I, it was like 2 4-year-olds out there. It was pathetic.
I was never any really good at bowling. For a short time in my life, I went regularly, maybe a couple of months. I would go on a weekly basis with, mm-hmm. with some friends, and I don't know. I think my top score was 150 once.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, most of the time, if I made 100, I was lucky.
Now, see, I grew up with candlepin bowling. To me, that is still the real bowling.
Now, what's candlepin bowling?
Candlepin is these slender pins that resemble candles, actually.
Oh, so they're not and, shaped like the...
No.
Ah, interesting.
It's a small
Never heard
ball
of this.
That's about the size of a small cannonball. No holes. You just grip the ball and throw it. You get 3 shots. And the wood, you know, which they call the down pins... is not cleared between those 3 shots. So
this
you get all these.
Is it in an alley?
Yeah, it's a regular bowling alley.
And where does this game originate?
This was New England, you know, where I was brought up, and it was very popular. And so to me, that is, and people, anyone who might be hearing this and ever lived in New England will relate to this.
No doubt.
New England being what, Massachusetts or?
Well, that's where I was brought up, but New England
because,
is...
Because, I mean, New York is New England. I never heard of it. It's not New England.
No.
It's where they almost, okay. It's where they almost have an
New
English accent.
New York is a thing unto itself.
You're going to be hitting a hot button when you say okay. something like that.
Look out. It's where they almost have an English accent.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily.
No, I know.
Yankee girl.
Yeah, there's a hard line between New England and New York, but we don't
know. I know that. I've met the tribes.
But Northeast.
Okay.
We can say that. And candlepin bowling is endemic in those areas. And there was a TV show that was on for 40 years, you know, every weekend. So it was very popular. And so it's much more challenging. You know?
It sounds like it would be.
It is. And I thought it was much more fun because mm-hmm. the smaller ball, you can really, you know, you can really whip that thing.
Right.
And get some power behind it.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so it's more difficult. But I still think it was more fun. And okay. I understand that there's actually a place around here somewhere out in RTP area that actually is a candlepin bowling alley. I haven't checked it out.
So if anybody can inform Ernie as to where this is, please contact him at his website.
Google it.
That's true.
That's true.
That's how you find everything anymore.
They were going to ban that also as a verb. You know, how can you make Google into a verb?
Oh.
But it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, growing up in South Africa, it was fun to get expert at slingshots, which I'm still really good at, thankfully.
Interesting to know.
Because I actually used them for street fighting because you were literally attacked growing up there on many cases, and that became the weapon in your back pocket.
So was this a slingshot like on a forked stick, or was it a slingshot in the
No, it was not the David and Goliath routine. Okay. Forget about it. I'd hit myself before I hit anybody else with that thing. But slingshot that you pull and let go. What do they call it? Wrist rockets, they have them here that you can
know.
Get. But anyway, I was practicing not too long ago, and it's funny how things can carry over from childhood, but I could still hit something a good distance away exactly where I wanted to hit it.
All right.
Providing, you know, the stone you picked up or the ball bearing you used had the kind of aerodynamics you needed to get that far.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was one of the ways. At sea, I enjoyed playing chess and backgammon.
Uh-huh.
Got pretty good at those, I've done a little bit of bowling. Good at that once in the blue moon. What about you, Audrey?
I don't know that I've ever really been good at any kind of a sport. I just, I've never been.
You're good at childbearing?
I'd say that qualifies as a.
Well, to some minds.
An unending sport for at least 9 months.
What gets you there certainly is.
Perhaps.
That's true. There's something athletic about that to be said for that.
Indeed.
I was once for a while when I worked as a chef tournoi at the Farrington House. I was actually, and I have no idea how this happened, I was the horseshoe champion. I have no idea.
That's something. There's two things I want to do out on the property. I want to put up a horseshoe, whatever you call them, thing, pit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also bocce ball.
Oh,
I've never
great.
Played bocce ball, but that sounds like it would be fun.
Is that the Italian ball sack game. It's, thing?
No. That's a
I'm thinking of something else. Something you slide is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a small round ball, and you hit, I don't know what you hit with it.
Well, there's
people
a
passing by.
I don't even know it, but I'm going to have it.
I actually played it recently for the first time, so I'm kind of up on it. But there's a small ball that gets thrown a certain distance, and that's like the target ball.
Okay.
And then, you know, all the different people playing, however how many it is, you have your balls, and you try to get your ball as close to that target ball or touching it or hitting mm-hmm. it. And there's whole point systems,
right.
And then there's ways, kind of like croquet, that if somebody is close, whoever's
right.
closest gets a point.
Right.
So you can knock that other person out, and you know, like in croquet, and mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lawn game.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to remind everybody that's eavesdropping on this bar in session, the Speakeasy. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on 103.5 FM, WCOM, of course, and we're talking to Ernie Hood of Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community. I also have my co-host Audrey Layton, who has Carborough Bookbeat. And this is yours truly with the Speakeasy.
So,
in case you're just tuning in.
Indeed.
It's us be talking here.
Well, you've pumped us, Claudio. Let's pump you. What's in your near future? Got any performances coming
up? What's in my future? Well, still stage managing at the Carolina Theater whenever that comes about. But mm-hmm. I am working on, as a matter of fact, you and I are going to be talking some. I want to build some kind of a Christmas show. Maybe in the spirit of old Father Christmas, the European style, something that we can put on here annually. I know I'll get Ira Dave Wood's support on that because he's made some subtle suggestions in that regard as well. So I think I'm actually going to get off my couch and start putting something together in that as far as that goes. But I'm also I've just recently acquired a new scanner so I can scan slides. I used to be really, really strongly into photography, but in order to afford it, I made slides instead of prints.
Mm-hmm.
But I've preserved them well, and so what I'm going to do now is transfer these onto DVDs, put music to them, potentially do some reciting or some of my own creative writings while you're watching this, and create visuals with this in that format. And I'm still figuring out exactly how I want to create this. I have many different themes, from people to nature to adventures at sea and so on, that I want to somehow put together and combine with my writings, with the music of friends and so on, and create some new works to put out in the marketplace.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to look to you for some assistance in some of this.
Do my best.
Yes, he knows how to work that complicated stuff on computer. I can just point to what I really like. He knows how to get it.
Do you want to talk about anything spicy?
Spicy? Oh, thank you. I just recently connected with a friend, a longtime friend from the nuclear plant, formerly known as Sharon Harris, now Progress Energy, and he has just become my new partner for my Spice Tropical Moon to try to get that on the commercial market instead of just making out-of-pocket sales as I have been doing for some 33 years now, just basically selling it to friends and a list of clients that's built up since I was in my 20s. So that's happening.
And Tropical Moon Spice, what's in that?
Well, it's a combination of 20 different herbs and spices, basically designed to enhance any kind of food that you eat, from seafood to game to vegetarian, from mm-hmm. pastas, etc. But the whole idea, the way I designed it during my culinary career at sea, was so that it would bring out the best in the food that you put it on. It doesn't make things taste like Tropical Moon. It has a different influence wherever
right.
it goes. So it's more for the taste of the food than mm-hmm. for you to be inundated with this literally eating matter
swallows.
That tastes like something.
Yeah,
yeah.
That swallows up the food.
It's not Lowry's seasoning salt that completely dominates even the table you're sitting on.
You're so sitting on the table?
You might be by the time you're done with it. So that's my plug for that. And the other thing that sort of connects with that, the reason this partnership came about, is because I got a call right shortly after something Ernie had made me aware of, and a friend from the nuclear plant made me aware of, because they're now considering computerizing what fire watches were responsible for, and that is making sure that no fires break out at nuclear plants. But what they don't seem to mention, the media, and I can't really believe the naivete sometimes, is the fire watches are also responsible for pointing toward radiation exposure and stopping operations that operate questionably and may cause, you know, potential harm or neglect that could cause radiation spills and radiation exposure and so on. And these
and
things
you spent
seem
many
to be
years at Sherrod Harris doing
I was
on
actually,
the fire watch team,
I was actually
right?
a lead fire watch, and at one time I had the main containment area completely evacuated because air radiation monitor alarms were being neglected by mm-hmm. working crews during a fuel rod outage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is something I question that a computer will adequately yeah. take care of. It's like it's another version of the fox guarding the henhouse, if you mm-hmm. ask me, and that's just my opinion, but... It's been a while since I've worked in that field, but I just do not see how a computer can replace the human eye, mm-hmm. especially not when with something as invisible as radiation. And
well,
that's my take on that.
Now, I'm sorry. You just said something I've got to jump on. If it's invisible,
please.
How is the human eye going to...
Well, you become aware of things that contain radiation that are not properly
okay.
guarded.
Right, that's different.
In many respects, yeah. And there are ways, there are monitors by which you check.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those things go off, you watch out. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, it's time to bring our show to a wrap. I usually like to wrap it up about 5 minutes early, so we can play some music on the way out. Let the next folks joining in, which I think is John Paul, coming in with mm-hmm. his show. So I want to thank everybody for being on the show, for joining us. Been a lively chat. Thank
Indeed.
You, Ernie. Ernie
Welcome
Hood.
To the new year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And happy new year. And Ernie Hood of Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community. Thank you for being on, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Give us your plug
Always
one more
a pleasure.
Time. Give us your connection one more time.
RadioInVivo.net.
And Audrey Layden of Carborough Bookbeat and The Speakeasy.
TheBookbeat.wordpress.com. And for Claudio Speakeasy, ClaudioArts.com.
And there you go. So thank you very much for joining us. A happy new year to all of you from all of us here at WCOM 103.5 FM. Cheers.